You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. The third hour of the program is live and more of your phone calls. Let's continue right now. And Reed is up next in Kansas. Hey, Reed.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. What's going on with you?
All right, so I just found this. I might be behind the game a little bit, but so my mom lives in Halstead, and you know what happens in Halstead?
No.
So that's where Adolph Rupp grew up.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's very famous basketball coach.
And their basketball court is named after him and all that. So.
Yeah, Rupp, people don't realize Rupp went to Kansas, came from there, and, Kansas and Kentucky, Kansas really is considered, obviously, the birthplace of basketball when you consider Naismith and everything that goes into that.
I got one other thing.
Sure.
So, Vanderbilt got the new logo, right?
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same. It's a little better, but
yeah, I don't know if a logo has ever helped a program win games. Sometimes I think when things aren't going well, you just make a change for change's sake. That's cliche, but there's nothing wrong with. It's not like anybody's looked at the old logo and go, "Man, I can't believe they changed."
Yeah.
So, how's your bracket doing, Reed?
Not very good. Not very good at all. I had Kentucky going to the Final Four, so yeah. That doesn't help me.
I think a lot of us did. That was a tough one. Pick a new team.
I have Gonzaga winning it all.
Okay, well, no. Yeah, we are similar there. Well, Reed, you be well. You take care of yourself. Thanks so much for calling. Let's check out Aslam next in Los Angeles. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I hope all is well for you today.
It is. Thank you very much.
I want to comment, since I'm from the real L.A., Lower Alabama, I want to comment on that SEC Alabama basketball.
Okay.
The University of Alabama's coach, Nate Oaks, you had him on your show after that debacle in Athens where he got beat by a Georgia team that probably couldn't beat a senior high team. And if you looked at that team during the tournament, he did not have a clue. Then let me move to the other side of the state. Bruce Pearl went and borrowed a page out of Nate Oaks' coaching book. He had a 6'9", probably first pick NBA player, had a 7-foot All-American center, and they were throwing up 3-point shots all day long. They never played the ball down in the middle. And I'm wondering, here, this guy just got a contract that will pay for
lifetime.
His lifetime.
Yeah.
And
my lifetime and yours.
Right. And he couldn't even make simple.
Aslam, you still there? I think he was on a bad cell. Well, if Aslam calls back from L.A., we'll try to get him back. He was making a lot of really interesting points. Let's check out David, who is up next. Hello, David. David, you there?
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. I listen to your show all the time, and I really like it.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm from Jacksonville, Alabama. There was a comment you made a while back. It was right after the championship game or the national championship game that Alabama had with Georgia. And I was kind of concerned about the comment because you said that Nick Saban had threw his players under the bus. And you know as well as I do, these five-star players come in and they think they're going to play right off. And if they don't get to play, and now this this transfer portal, they'll just go through the transfer portal. They don't want to work. They don't want to practice or anything. So somebody has, you know, has to teach them, you know, what they need to do. And Nick Saban's probably, and I know he's the best coach that ever was. So to say that he threw them under the bus, I think it was premature, because the players that did come in actually didn't know what they were doing. And if they did practice like they were supposed to, then they would have probably won the football game. But Nick Saban cares about his players, and he would not throw anybody under the bus like he said he did. And I think your comment was premature, and I think you need to think about that. And I'm sure you haven't asked Nick Saban, have you?
I'll never tell.
Well, I'll just say this. I'm pretty sure you haven't asked Nick Saban, you know, why he did it or why he commented
well,
the
David,
way he did.
Well, David, let me put it this way. I'm pretty sure you're wrong about that, but that's beside the point. Let's continue with Gary in Tennessee. How are you, Gary?
I'm all right. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I was going to talk about Paul. I actually remember back in the early 70s, the first Penn State game we played, it was a night game. And I was going to ask him about that.
So I'm trying to remember the first. We're talking about the Alabama. Which game are we talking about here?
No, Penn State. The first night game ever was Penn State.
Well, it was Penn State and Tennessee, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I was not. I do. I remember hearing about it. I was not in school yet, but I distinctly remember people telling me about it.
Yeah. Jeez. Paul.
Yeah, what do you remember about it? Were you alive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad and glad you're still around. Thank you for the call. Paul is up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. I just want to run a few things by you. I've been reminiscing here.
Sure.
You were talking about about some old radio guys. I wanted to run Leonard Losers by you, but I remember John Forney, Ed Thelenius, Al Seraldo, John Ward. Of course, you probably had elbows and had some dinner with those guys.
Yeah, you know, John, Paul, you know what's so interesting? I know and have tremendous respect for all the gentlemen who do it now, but you have to remember back during this era, we didn't have television games. Alabama, Tennessee may have been on twice a year. So you knew the broadcasters intimately. You knew everything about them. You depended on them. And I know everyone says I listen to the radio and watch the game. It's very difficult to do considering there's a differential on the time and the relay. But I think it's a lost art. I think the Larry Munsons, the John Wards, the John Forneys, Kaywood Ledford from Kentucky, one of my favorites of all time.
Absolutely.
If you were a Tennessee fan, you knew everybody else's broadcaster. Today, you know your guy, and that's it. You don't know anybody else's.
To see what they did, Paul, was they gave you a visual. When you listen to those guys on the radio, you could almost visualize the green grass and the pale orange jerseys and the crimson helmets.
Well, Paul, I asked John Forney once this, who was just a brilliant guy. He was a writer, and he told me that he felt like the difference between his era and the era that came after him was really the command of the language. And today it's because all the young, all the broadcasters today, and they don't have to be young, they could be my age. They all grew up watching television. They didn't have to describe the game like you do now. In that era, you know, you started the broadcast. It's a cool, crisp afternoon here at Neyland Stadium. The skies are partly cloudy. The temperatures. I mean, you described everything like you were writing an essay for the fans, and I don't think there's a lot of that goes on anymore.
No, there's not. And really and truly, don't you miss Leonard's Losers? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no, so absolutely. It was a fantastic show. Hey, thank you so much for calling. Do appreciate it. Let's check out Trey, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
How are you doing, Paul?
Trey, we are doing great.
You and me both, Paul. I just took some ribs off the smoker, sat down, been drinking a couple of Blue Moons, waiting to call in and talk to you.
One of these days, Trey, the two of us are going to be sitting together on your patio watching some clown host this show.
Just as long as it's not Jim hosting the show,
well,
I'm all behind you.
I guess you didn't hear. That announcement is coming tomorrow that Jim from Tuscaloosa is replacing me as of Thursday afternoon.
Well, there's always a tomorrow, so I don't have anything to worry about.
Tomorrow.
Hey, Paul, we got this war going on. Prices are high. Inflation's high. Urban Meyer's in the news. Oh, Harsin's been in the news. Kentucky lost in basketball. Pete Golden couldn't have picked a better time to get drunk and drive, could he, Paul? I ain't heard a word about him.
Pete who?
You know, the guy that does the Alabama defense coordinator.
Oh, I have not heard his name since Indianapolis. You must be talking about something I missed.
Well, come on now, Paul. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I just want to know if you've heard anything.
I have
you
not.
You just tried to tell me because I've been into the Blue Moon.
No, there's nothing going on there. I think you'll find that case neatly tied up. I don't think we're going to hear about it again.
Well, I just hope he has a better defense than what he did last year.
Here's what Pete did. He offered the judge instead of fining him, he offered to let him call the defense for the first game of the season.
And then he's done for the rest of the year.
The judge said, "I'm not going to penalize you, but I think I can do a better job than you did."
Well, that's all I really want to know today, Paul, is what's happened with Pete Golding. I mean, he's just picked a good time.
Well, I can tell you, Pete was in his office this morning, getting ready for the next season.
Oh, I thought you was going to tell me sipping on some vodka.
No, not at all. You're just in that happy hour. It's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you doing drinking already?
Well, I just thought I'd be like Larry today.
Okay.
I'm trying my Larry mood. You know, I just.
Well, trying
the Larry
well Trey,
mood
let
today.
Me tell you this. I feel like we're good friends. If you're having one, I'm having one. We'll take a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back here. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Duncan is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Duncan.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing great. I see you smiling and laughing. I'm sure you're doing well also.
I am. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Paul, I just had one question about the LSU Tigers football team. Do you have any information on whether LSU went after the offensive or defensive coordinators for the 2019 team? That's Dave Aranda and Joe Brady, if I have it correct.
Yeah, you do. It is my best guess. Yeah, Brady, I think Ensminger was technically the offensive coordinator, but Brady made the calls. I don't think they did. I don't think Scott Woodward did. In Brady's case, I don't think he was particularly desirable because he had just been fired by the Panthers in the NFL. And I think Aranda was possibly going to get on his list at some point, but I really believe his top choice was Jimbo Fisher. And I don't think Brian Kelly was too far behind.
Well, I can't see Jimbo Fisher leaving A&M. And all right, I'll ask you this: what do you think of the fit with Brian Kelly? I mean, I want to be optimistic, man. Okay.
Well, Duncan, I will say this to you: fit is extremely important, but I don't think if you go back to 2000 or go back to the year 2000 and ask the question, do you think Nick Saban is a good fit in Baton Rouge? Anyone would have said absolutely. His background was primarily the NFL and a little bit of college ball, and you know his personality was quirky. And he did not have a resume. Brian Kelly has an exemplary resume. It's hard to find one with anyone with a better resume. And I don't know if it will work, but I think it will because I think Brian Kelly is a good enough coach to overcome any awkwardness that people may have seen this far. But thank you very, very much for the call. Thanks a lot. Good to have you on. Let's check in with Gary next in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. How are we doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Listen, I wondered, you were commenting on some of the old play-by-play announcers.
Right.
And I'm going to take you back to the 50s. Do you remember a George Mooney at UT?
Yeah. No, I don't because I wasn't around. But I do know who he is because I believe he started the I remember John Ward talking about him when I was in college. George Mooney must have been, I don't know if he was the first one, but I think he started the network.
He was an absolute hoot. I mean, I was like 10 or 11 years old. I'm listening to the radio, and old George would get going, and you wouldn't know which way the ball was going. You wouldn't know who was ahead. He would get so excited. He was an absolute character. It was fun to listen to.
Well, no, I think there are two kinds of announcers. I mean, there are those who are brilliant, and we've mentioned some, and then those are just fun. I mean, by the way, Larry Munson, who everybody talks about, as you know, was not technically a great broadcaster. He just made it must listen to radio because he was so funny and so colorful and so unpredictable.
Well, that exactly fit George Mooney.
I'm sorry I missed George. I think at one time Lindsey Nelson did Tennessee games too. I know he's from there, but right. I definitely know who George Mooney was. That's for sure.
Well, the other point, I didn't realize that the NIL was effective back in the mid-50s. I couldn't believe that caller calling in on the.
Well, we keep hearing, everybody always talks about the way it used to be, and we're finding out that it was just, today there's some gray area about how illegal it is. Back then, it was purely illegal, but they could have disguised it under living expenses and who knows what else. But thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. Ross is in Mississippi. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Paul.
Let me try Ross again in a minute. I'm not sure I heard him in time. Andrew is in Fayetteville. Hello, Andrew.
I got three quick ones, and the first one's rhetorical. Okay. Do you agree that the SEC and the Big Three, baseball, football, basketball, is the best conference sports-wide? I would imagine your answer would be yes. Second question. As a standalone SEC representative, Arkansas, why are they not the best team in the SEC in basketball? And if the Capital One Cup was SEC exclusive, which team would you think has the best chance of winning the total of the three combined?
Well, you know, you have to remember the SEC, there's no question the SEC is the best conference in baseball and in football. That's not disputable.
Right.
I do think, in fairness, you have to have a serious conversation about basketball. And I would say in the regular season, the SEC was the best, but the SEC is not, unless Arkansas wins the championship, it will be impossible to convince many people outside of the SEC that the SEC was the best in basketball.
I can definitely agree. I mean, the ACC and the Big East have had that locked down for a while.
Well, in many ways, the Big Ten this year. See, here's the problem with March. The Big Ten probably was the best conference during the regular season, but it bombed out in March. It's still alive, barely. But it went 0-4 the other day, I think, on Sunday. And the Big East was quite good too. You can't make this determination right now. You have to make it after the season, just like you do in football. And ultimately, the SEC will not be considered, I don't think, the best basketball league. And I know that may be contradictory to what some of my colleagues up and down in the building will say, but you have to do better than the SEC has done. And you had six SEC teams in the tournament. Five have lost, and every single one of them, I believe, lost to a lower seed. That does not help your reputation at all. Now, I realize Tennessee and Auburn won first-round games, but ultimately, they were all knocked out by lower seeds. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome all of you back. It's great to have you here. And there's so many fascinating stories in March. And we hear all the Cinderellas. We get this story over and over again. And our next guest, Andy Witry from Warner Digital, returns to the show to talk about what is sustainable when you make these incredible runs, whether it's Gulf Coast a couple years ago from Florida or George Mason or maybe Loyola or this year, of course, St. Peter's. Andy, great to have you back. It's good to see you. And amazing tournament, and here we go again with some Cinderellas. How are you?
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here. Yeah, it's almost every year now we see some sort of double-digit seed either make the Sweet 16, maybe a Final Four run, and we're left in the remains asking, okay, well, what's the lasting effect? What's sustainable, right? Can we make it back here the next year? Will the coach even stay at our school? Will the admissions to the overall university be improved based upon this? And that's what my story did this week, was just take a deep dive at what is actually sustainable from this kind of tournament run.
Well, let's talk about some of these, because we saw the George Mason coach the other night from yesteryear, of course, coaching in Miami. And one would suspect the St. Peter's coach will have his pick of any remaining job that's on the board. Now, a lot of them are getting filled, but there's nothing quite like a March run to make your resume look good and make your pocketbook look even better. So how has it worked out going through your deep dive?
What I found, Paul, is basically that the biggest winner, as you mentioned, is the head coach is right, because we might see Shaheen Holloway go back to his alma mater, Seton Hall. I would say that he's penciled in to be their head coach, but we might need a bigger, a marker or a paintbrush, because that job is now opened. So the head coaches, oftentimes, they move on to bigger and better jobs. They get that paycheck you mentioned. And then after that, the next biggest winner, it might be the admissions office to the school. Looking at Florida Gulf Coast, is that it's quite literally on the Florida Gulf Coast. And so high schoolers now across the country, back in 2013, saw for about a week and a half, they saw these pictures of campus and this new school they had probably never even heard about. And then you see this beachfront campus, and you're like, well, shoot, I wouldn't want to go there. And so that very next year in 2014, they saw that their admissions increased by like 27% year over year. And it's a fairly small school, relatively speaking. But once they're on CBS and TNT and True TV, and of course the ESPN family of networks, that's all this earned media. So the admissions office is a big winner. The head coach that's often outbound is a big winner. And then the ticket sales, we've seen increases where now that they've made this, a Sweet 16 run, maybe a surprise Final Four run, obviously fan interest will increase. Oftentimes the players that were part of that special run might come back and then lead the team the next year. And so there's maybe a new higher floor in ticket sales. But the actual on-court product, it's pretty hard to sustain, especially if the original architects, of the coach and the key players, once they move on, once Brad Stevens leaves Butler, you can still hire a Chris Holtman type. But when you're three or four coaches down the road after Brad Stevens, it's hard to expect that, national title level run again and again.
Yeah, Butler, if I remember correctly, had two straight championship game appearances, nearly won it all, and Stevens cashed in big time. But you hear Butler, but it's kind of like yesterday's news. So let's talk about St. Peter's. Not only are they the talk of the tournament, but they're in the New York area, so their front page in the tabloids, which I don't know if people still read them, but there's got to be some value. They're in the mainstream media. And how do you think? I realize this thing's not over yet, but that's how do you think the two wins over the past weekend, especially over Kentucky, is going to lift this school up?
That's a million-dollar question, Paul. And I think, going back to my previous point, I think if we see Shaheen Holloway take a bigger job, such as Seton Hall, that's one example, to the detriment of St. Peter's. But if he moves on, he's a big winner. I'm sure we'll see a percentage basis, a pretty significant year-over-year increase in applications, not this cycle, but the next cycle, the first full recruiting cycle for just high school students. Forget athletes, just, the average 18-year-old, they might want to go there. But like you mentioned, it's a pretty small school. It's about, call it 2,500 kids undergrad. It's a small private Jesuit school. I mean, I went to a Jesuit high school of like 1,500. So this is not that much bigger as a college. It's right across the river from Manhattan. So it's already probably a pretty self-selecting student base. So we might see an increase and an uptick in applications for just students. But still, it's a pretty kind of self-selective, small private school, maybe a little bit more expensive than other schools. So it'll get that bump. But once again, we're talking about a school of, 2,400, 2,500 students. This isn't some massive state school. So, that's the biggest area. It's probably going to be ticket sales for men's basketball. Will Shaheen Holloway move on to Seton Hall, as is expected by many? And then what can the university at large do to say, hey, we're now on, the morning shows, the Sunday night news shows. How can we kind of capitalize in this moment? We saw UMBC when they upset Virginia. They had a very kind of cheeky Twitter persona, very fun-loving. They had the retriever mascot making lots of jokes on Twitter. They embrace that moment. But as far as the on-court product, is that if the coach leaves and if these players, remember, this is a COVID year where last year's eligibility didn't count against players. So if players that otherwise would not be here won't be here in the future, it's hard to expect a job that many say might be the worst in its conference to expect another sort of NCAA tournament run to the second or third weekend.
Andy, let me ask you about Loyola. Of course, in 18, they made it to the Final Four, but it almost seemed like there was more attention on Sister Jean than the team. I don't remember anybody on that team, but I remember her. And they were back in the tournament again this year. And I think a lot of our brethren just went ahead and picked them because of the past. What has been the net benefit in Chicago?
That's right. So the biggest thing, Paul, is that they're actually changing conferences. So one of the things I looked at was the seven schools I examined of these Cinderella since 2010. So we're talking about Butler and VCU and Loyola and Wichita State and Florida Gulf Coast and these schools. Is it the ones that either made two different Cinderella runs? So you mentioned Butler going back to back to the national title game, or that they made one run but then repeatedly made it back to the tournament. All those schools that had kind of, we'll say, repeat offender status, if you will, they went on and they changed conferences. So Butler changed conferences twice, actually. Loyola is now moving up to the A-10. So if you can prove that you're not just some one-hit wonder, that you're bigger than one coach, you're bigger than one star mid-major player, you can really cash in on that and go to, say, the Atlantic 10 or go to the Big East, as Butler's done. And that's the biggest thing, is that now if you're going from the Missouri Valley, which they've seen a lot of schools leave in the last 5 or 10 years, so now if you're in the A-10, where maybe in a great year, maybe three schools could make the tournament, your floor is now raised as Loyola. So even after you lose Porter Moser and the players that, you know, once again got overshadowed a bit by Sister Jean, once they move on, that floor is still now higher, and you're still, you know, you're not in downtown Chicago, but you're still next to this major media market. So as far as recruiting students, recruiting maybe some transfer players, and this immediate eligibility era with the transfer portal, is that your floor is now raised. So it's hard to expect that type of Final Four run again from Loyola. But we've seen that they made the Final Four. They beat Illinois last year in a major upset. They're back in the tournament this year and lost. But still, that's three tournament appearances in the span of, I believe, five tournaments. It's that kind of repeated success that let them move up to the A-10. And that's really all you can hope for, is to cash in, change conferences, and hope that there's something kind of sustaining beyond that one special March run.
Fantastic stuff about the madness of March. Andy, thank you. Be well. Take care of yourself and come back soon.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. You too. Really appreciate it.
You got it. What a fantastic conversation there. We have plenty of time for you to get in. We'll update you on the caller bracket, the much-hated caller bracket from some of you, and your phone calls in a minute at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back, and let's continue with more phone calls. Ross is up next. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, I want to talk to you about this whole, what's the big news out of Knoxville recently with the signing of Nico Iamalavea. And, you know, before that, they had the reports of someone, some 2023 recruit signing some $8 million NIL deal. And they went, you know, a couple days later, he signed with Tennessee, you know. And, you know, I can put two and two together, Paul. I mean, how long until we get the salary cap for NIL in college football?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a question that every college football coach is privately asking. You heard Kiffin talk about how much he loves NIL. The coaches don't love this. This is a nightmare for them for the reason that you laid out and others. It's not equitable. You have Bryce Young making his kind of money. Mm-hmm. This player is going to break the bank, and then most, you know, the majority of the players aren't getting anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no, that's a good point. I mean, it's just the rich are going to get richer, you know?
In theory, you're right. If you're a small, the small, it's like retailing 40 years ago, and suddenly the big mega stores moved into the neighborhood. The hardware stores all closed down.
Yeah, and then, you know, and also looking ahead for the future of college football, Paul, I have looked at the TV deals for the next few years, and, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten have escalating way above everyone else. And, you know, are we going to start to see a Power 2 conference instead of just Power 5? You know, I mean,
I think
the future of college football in general.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, because the SEC deal with ESPN has not gone into effect yet, still has the CBS thing has still two more painful
right.
seasons to go. I think that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, and then by the time it goes into effect, Big Ten will have cut a new deal. There's no one even in the same neighborhood. The SEC and the Big Ten
right.
are going to be light years ahead of everyone else. And I think ultimately that will have a trickle down effect because I don't know how, I mean, the Big 12 you know, may have grabbed four more schools, but they are miles behind. The Pac-12 has a non-existent conference network, which doesn't help them very much. And I mean, they'll I don't know where they are on the other deal. And the ACC is locked in for another 15 years in a bad deal.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting to see where, you know, it's just how college football is getting spoiled over the next several, you know, looking in the future.
I think the real
football.
Question, Ross, and these are existential issues but anyone who tries to guess college athletics more than 4 or 5 years ahead is clueless because I don't frankly think that 5 or 6 years from now, what we have now is going to exist. The NCAA is like that old company that in the 90s into the 2000s is still trying to, that old computer company that's still building mainframes and has completely
mm-hmm.
avoided the software world of portable computing, and they're not going to be around.
Yeah, no, that's.
The reason why that's big news is the St. Peter's, which we just got through talking about, are not going to be part
yep.
of this. This is only going to be a big boy entity, and you know we already have it in college football, but it's going to happen in basketball too.
Right. No, like you said. I mean it. How much longer until St. Peter's, they move to the Big East or the
yeah.
A-10? You know, I mean, you know, it's what we said about what happened in Loyola. Murray State's doing the same thing. They're moving to the Missouri Valley, I think. They're getting out of the OVC. It's, you know, it's all the rich are going to get richer, and then, you know,
yeah,
what's
left
is what's
it
left.
It is going to be a very ritzy neighborhood, and if you don't have a big car, you're not getting in. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Jerry is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. This is Jerry Gay. I go by the name of J-Bar. I'm just concerned. I know things change a lot, but today's athletes in college are just different than it used to be. I can remember when I was in the eighth grade, and my coach was Bubba Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to go out and see. My dad had a truck driving business, lumber business. He had a truck breakdown. And he said, okay, Mom, Dad, we got to go out and get our truck fixed. It broke down in the middle of Texas. Well, I called my coach, Coach Scott, and he said, son, you can't go. You have to just come live with me. What is the difference now between athletes and how they feel? And that's what I understand. Kids don't seem to understand how great they can be, and they quit. They just don't do the job. What do you think?
Well, Jerry, I knew Bubba very well. Some of the stuff I don't even want to say on the air because it's but what coaches are saying privately now, some are saying it publicly, would frighten people. And I like everyone, I'm in favor of the young people getting their due. But when you can leave with no consequences, when you can make money, when you can do all of these things that have never been available, it makes it more difficult for that coach to instill any sort of regiment or discipline. And, you know, we saw it this year. Remember the player at Alabama that Nick Saban had problems with. It kept every couple of weeks it was in the news. And, you know, if Nick Saban can't solve the problem, who can?
Well, that's probably true. But it just amazes me that people don't understand our players, our students. And I know it's just a change of it happens every 10 years. I mean, it's different. People just don't feel the being the best they can be.
Well, Jerry,
and that just bothers me.
It's been changing since you were a young kid, but Eli Drinkwitz said here the other day, it's changed really. He said, I think if I get this correctly, because I should have it now because I was talking to him. He said college football has changed more in the last year and a half than it has in the previous 20 or 30 years. And I know we don't talk about it very much, but it is a real concern. It's not going to make the games any less fun to watch, but it's going to make them far more difficult to manage. We are coming back. More of your phone calls right after this.